how much power should Wisconsin's legislative branch have? How about the governor or the attorney general? Those are some of the constitutional questions that came into play yesterday at the state Supreme Court. Justices heard oral arguments on one of many lawsuits related to lame duck laws passed prior to Governor Evers taking office. WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White joins us to break it all down. Laurel, welcome back to Central Time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob.
We've talked a lot about these challenges to these laws passed in lame duck session. Set this one apart from us. What is this particular lawsuit about?
So this is a lawsuit brought by the Service Employees International Union and some other individuals. Essentially, what they're arguing here is that some of the laws passed during the lame duck session violate the separation of powers guarantees within the state constitution for kind of separating powers between the branches of government in Wisconsin.
That means, like, you guys in the legislature, you get to do this stuff, the governor's office, and maybe the attorney general, they get this stuff, and there's a line between those. That's the gist of the separation of powers concept, right?
Exactly. So the SEIU is arguing that some of these laws infringe improperly on the executive branch's power, kind of giving the legislature too much.
What were the particular infringements that were coming up in the arguments yesterday?
So there were a few things that really kind of took up a lot of the oxygen in the Supreme Court chamber. I think the biggest one was a provision that we've talked quite a lot about, and that's one that requires the attorney general to get approval from the legislature before he settles any lawsuits involving the state. So in the past, the attorney general could just kind of do that unilaterally. Under this lame duck law, he has to go to the state budget writing committee, sometimes called the Joint Finance Committee, and say, hey, this is a lawsuit I want to settle. These are the details. And this is a process that's really kind of caused some trouble in the state legislature in recent months, really, because the committee that's part of this law and the attorney general can't come to an agreement about how they discuss these cases and meet certain legal requirements for confidentiality.
So that's the attorney general and the lawsuit part. What else came up when it came to challenges to the way these lame duck laws affect the power of the executive branch?
So there were some other things. They talked about the governor, the governor's administration a little bit. They talked about a provision in here that places some more requirements on guidance documents that are issued by the Evers administration. Under the law, the legislature puts more more oversight and more public comment periods on some of these guidance documents. Those can be things like informational booklets that the Department of Transportation puts out for people on certain policies, things like that. Under this legal challenge, they're saying that the requirements put in place by the legislature are just too onerous for the Evers administration. Another thing that they talked about that kind of has to do with the governor and the governor's office is the ability of lawmakers to throw out administrative rules that are written by the Evers administration. So these administrative rules are kind of like, they have the force of law. They're kind of like laws, but they don't go through the legislative process. Under this lame duck bill, the legislature could throw those out without, you know, obviously without the Evers administration's consent, because they created them, they like them, right? And this lawsuit is contending the legislature shouldn't be able to do that.
As you've described the lawsuit, the plaintiffs are arguing that all of these things unfairly, in effect, boost the power of the legislature at the expense of the executive branch. What did the lawyers for the legislature argue yesterday?
So this was a really interesting argument. So what they were essentially saying is that the attorney general's office, when we're talking about some of those powers that were taken away from the attorney general in particular, doesn't fall under the executive branch of government. And so therefore kind of infringing on his powers and the things that that he does isn't infringing on the executive branch because he's not a part of that branch. Lawyers for the legislature said that instead, the attorney general is part of a fourth branch of government called the administrative branch. And they made this argument because in the state constitution, the duties of the attorney general are prescribed as being written and given to him or given to that office by the legislature. There are very few things written into the Constitution that are powers of the Attorney General, specifically in that document. So the lawyer for the legislature is saying, well, we can't be infringing on the executive branch through the Attorney General because he's not in the executive branch. And that got some pushback from some of the justices.
Talking to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, about a state Supreme Court case. Arguments this week looking at limits to the powers of the governor and the attorney general. Well, the justices you just mentioned, they're the deciders here. What kind of things were we hearing from them yesterday?
So kind of in the vein of that argument about the attorney general and where his powers come from and sort of the overlap between the legislature and the AG, I think there was kind of an interesting line of questioning, and one of the justices really hit it on the head as he was going back and forth with the lawyer for Republicans. That was Justice Daniel Kelly, one of the court's conservatives.
The legislature can deprive the attorney general of the entirety of his authority and consign him to twiddling his thumbs all day long. However, that doesn't answer the question of where that power goes after it is withdrawn from the attorney general.
So that was really a big part of the argument about this this element of the lame duck laws that takes away the attorney general's power to settle lawsuits. Justices that have partisan affiliations on both sides of the aisle, you heard Kelly there, conservative back justice, liberal back justices, were kind of making this argument as well that even if the legislature can take away duties from the attorney general because that power is given to them in the state constitution, it's not necessarily clear that they can assume those things that they take away without kind of blurring the lines of how the powers are separated in Wisconsin.
And that's, as you said, with a voice from a generally perceived conservative justice there. What kind of things do we hear from some of the liberal justices?
So one of the court's liberal justices, Rebecca Dallet, had quite a bit to say during this line of questioning as well. She had a bit more of a straightforward argument in terms of the legislature, in her opinion, kind of overstepping its bounds and stepping on the responsibilities of the attorney general and what has traditionally been the purview of his office. So here's what she had to say about that.
You can grind to a complete halt this any kind of litigation that the attorney general is conducting, period. So the buck would stop with the legislature. That's not a seat at the table. That is, you are the one making that decision.
So this really was an argument at its core about, obviously, the balance of power within these branches of between these branches of government in Wisconsin, and sort of the push and pull between having a seat at the table and taking over the entire table, if you want to carry out that analogy. So it's certainly something that we heard from a variety of justices on the court. And as I said, you know, this really did take up a hefty amount of time of the 2 hours of arguments that we had yesterday.
And we talk about a conservative majority, liberal minority in the Supreme Court. But from some of the questions it asked, it doesn't sound like we can just assume that it's going to break down that way in their final decision.
That's right. So it seemed in this case, sometimes we try to read the tea leaves a little bit based on the kinds of questions that justices ask from the bench during oral arguments. And it seems kind of based on what they were asking that some conservative justices on the court might have some issues with some of these provisions. So obviously we won't know for sure until we get a ruling from the court. That could be, you know, several weeks away. There isn't a consistent kind of timetable for this sort of thing. But it does seem like we might be seeing a little bit more of a break between the traditional kind of party affiliations that we see on the court.
We'll watch for that result. And as I understand it, Laurel, there's one more case that hasn't been decided yet when it comes to these lame duck laws. This one in federal court, is that right?
That's right. So it's sitting in federal court in Chicago, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. They heard arguments on that case a couple years ago, actually, and we're still waiting for a ruling in that. So an unusual case that we're waiting that long, but we'll keep an eye on it.
Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Laurel White, state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. We talked to her today about yesterday's arguments at Wisconsin's state Supreme Court about lame duck laws and the balance of power in Wisconsin's government.